Reformed Church.
Very, very quickly, I just want to read you 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And actually, no, I'm going to read this from the New King James, actually, instead. A little bit easier. All right, so 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So clearly, he's talking about Christians here, right? All things have become new. This is not talking about the whole world. This is talking about those that receive Jesus. And for you, all things have become new. And that's God saying it, right? Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. He sees everything has become new for you. So now, all things are of God. So the new things that you have, your new characteristics are all the characteristics of God now. That's what you have now. But it says, God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So now he's kind of transferring the sort of subject matter here from us to the world, because he says God has reconciled us to himself and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That means a ministry to preach reconciliation, which I'll touch on in a second, to other people. So now he's talking about the world now. Now he's talking about our ministry to other people. And it says that is, in other words, this is our ministry of reconciliation. This is what we're preaching to people. So if you want to know a little summary here of the things that we're preaching, right, as believers, he says that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation means the word, the good news, about how God has already reconciled himself to the world. On his end, how God has made peace with the world and that God is not angry with anybody. That right there is the welcome mat to people receiving the good news. That is such an important aspect to people coming to Jesus and receiving Jesus, is because a lot of people think that even when people, even if you have an altar call and people get saved and people receive Jesus for the first time, that there's a mutual reconciliation going on, that you and God have kind of like come together and you've become pals now, and you know you've made everything right between you two, and there's sort of a mutual union going on. But as far as the reconciliation is concerned, it's not a mutual reconciliation that happens when someone receives Jesus. God has already on his end reconciled the relationship on his end. And again, that just means that's why it says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And as you'll see in a second, this is talking about on God's end. It doesn't mean that people have reconciled themselves to God, and it doesn't mean that they've received the reconciliation, but people need to know that God is not angry at them, and that God has loved them so much that he already condemned their sin, and every wrong that deserves judgment, Jesus already became that for, not for Christians, but for the entire world. That's what, to know that God has made peace with them. On God's end, God has already made peace with the world. And a lot of churches really don't know that. A lot of churches believe that you can have peace with God, but they believe that that's something that you only get when you get saved. But on God's end, the whole world has peace with God in that sense. On God's end, it says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not Christians to himself, but the world to himself. And that's the welcome mat, really, for everybody that is out there that would even think about receiving Jesus. For them to know that God has already made peace with them on his end is actually the thing that, it's the goodness of God that they see there that draws them to the Lord. It entices them toward the Lord. Because, you know, when you think that somebody's angry at you and you're kind of angry at God and you need to get together and have a mutual reconciliation, that's a lot harder to reconcile a relationship like that for a person if they think that God is sort of, he's just angry at them and he's standoffish toward them, and they have to do something, and it's a mutual reconciliation. But this is saying God has already reconciled the world to himself on his end through Jesus. And he says, and not imputing their trespasses to them. That, you know, this is just, you know, not talking about forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sin is a whole other level of you, your sins being, the record of your sin being erased and you being treated as if you've never sinned before. Forgiveness is only something that you receive when you put faith in Jesus. That's another topic. But as far as God imputing or counting people's trespasses or let's just say sin, trespass doesn't mean sin, but let's just say sin for right now. God not imputing or counting people's sin against them is not something that's applicable to believers. That's something that's applicable to the whole entire world. And that's actually what makes people feel so welcome and loved to come to the Lord, is to know that, you know what? Like you can tell anyone that you come in contact with. Now, I want to let you know that God is not angry at you, and God loves you. And even if you don't receive him, God has already made peace with you on his end. God is totally at peace. He's totally cool with you on his end. But you're not going to receive anything from God unless you start believing on what he's done for you. See, like, both are true, right? They can't receive anything that God's provided on their end unless they receive this reconciliation. But the reconciliation has been done. This is already, the relationship's already been half reconciled at this point, right? And it will go on to say that, and I'll just kind of have to wrap up very quickly, but God on his end has already made peace with them. So to be able to tell somebody that's not saved, that hates God, I mean, what a beautiful thing that is, that unworked for favor of God, that unconditional love of God, and the peace that he's already made with them, to be able to tell someone that doesn't like God and is just purely not interested in him, or I'm just not that kind of person, say, you know what, despite your disinterest in God, God loves you and has already made peace with you, and he's not counting any of your sins against you anymore. He already judged Jesus for that, so he could justly put that to the side, and God's not angry with you. Again, that's the welcome that really draws people in, to know that when they come to God, they're not coming to God that's angry at them, that they need to get right with him in that sense, that so that he's not angry with them anymore. They're coming to a God that's already made peace with them. He's already at peace with them. They're not coming to God to make peace with him on his end. They're coming to God because God has made peace with them. It's a way different gospel to teach than to teach that, you know, people are under God's wrath or something today. If you sin enough, or if you do enough bad things, that God's wrath is on America for this and that, or God's wrath is on some other country, or God's wrath is on this person or that person for doing some wrong thing, and you need to repent and get right with God. That is not the message that God's entrusted to us. The message that God has entrusted to us is that God has already reconciled the world to himself, and God is not imputing their trespasses to them. The problem, though, with this whole deal here is that people need to reconcile themselves to God. They need to make peace with God on their end. God has already made peace with them on his end, but that's why as he goes through here, he says God is already not imputing their trespasses to them. He has already reconciled the world to himself. Verse 20, it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, knowing that God has reconciled the world to himself already. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us to the world. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, if God was already in Christ reconciling the world to himself, why would it say that we're also teaching people to be reconciled to God? Because that's talking about on their end. You see the beauty of the fact that when someone gets saved, they're coming to terms in making peace with God on their end. They're turning from being an enemy of God to believing in his son. But they're not coming to make reconciliation so that God won't be angry at them anymore. God won't be angry at you, regardless of whether you ever believed on his son or not. He's already made that atonement, and he's already had Jesus become sin, and that's actually what he says in just the next verse. It says, For God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's a verse that we quote a lot, but the beautiful thing here, and I'll just stop with this, is that when it says to be sin for us, that us, he's talking about everybody. He's talking about the whole world, because the context of this chapter, he's talking about the message of reconciliation that we're teaching the world. And that's the message that we get to bring to everybody. No matter whether they care about God, no matter whether they come to church, no matter whether they've cursed God before, it doesn't matter. You no matter what you've done, and no matter whether you ever believe in Jesus, you can't stop God from having loved you. You can't stop God from not being angry at you. You can't stop God from having made peace with you. That right there will bother somebody in a good way. When they refuse God and you tell them, you know what, I want to tell you this, if you refuse God, you can't receive the benefits because you need to believe on him and you need to come to him to receive the benefits and believe on his son. But you know what though? your unbelief is not going to nullify the faithfulness of God, so to speak. Your unbelief is not going to stop the fact that God made peace with you and God loves you. He's already loved you. He's already reconciled himself to you. He's already made peace. He's not your enemy. It's just a matter of whether you want to be his enemy or not. And you know what? People might say, no, I'm not an enemy of God. I'm not against all that. I'm just not a religious person or something like that. But enmity toward God is disbelief. If you don't hear his word, that's enmity toward God. Because the only way that you can receive from God on your end, right? God has already done all this stuff for the whole world. But let's say I'm a part of the world. I could say, well, I'm not an enemy of God. I'm not like mad at him or anything. But here's the thing. Enmity toward God is disbelief regarding his son. The only way for you to receive on your end what God has done for you is to believe what Jesus did and to continue in that word, to learn what Jesus has done for you so that you can receive it. Because otherwise, you could say you're not an enemy of God, but you're refusing what he did for you. You understand? The only way to receive from God is to continue learning what Jesus has done for you. And if you say, well, I'm not an enemy of God, but I just, you know, I'm not into like learning what Jesus has done and everything. I'm not a religious person. It's not about being a religious person. But how can you say you're not showing enmity toward God when God said on his end, I've made peace with you, I love you, and I provided all these good things for your life, for you to live in and walk in these things. And all you need to do is believe on these things to receive it. But I've already done it. The gift is given. I'm not taking it back. It's there on the table for you, and I love you. For God to say that, and then for you to say, oh, I'm not mad at him, but I'm just not going to receive the gift, that's hostility toward God. And despite your hostility, he's not hostile toward you, but it's still enmity toward God because you haven't received the gift. You could say what you want. You could say, well, you could give different excuses for why you're receiving the God that loves you, or rather, for not receiving the God that loves you. And we could say different things, I'm not mad at him or whatever, but when someone dies for you, which happened, right? When someone dies for you and loved you and made peace, when you deserved judgment, all of us, right? We deserved judgment for the things that we had done, and God wouldn't have it. So Jesus would rather take that judgment, and Jesus essentially came and said, blame me instead of blaming them, and took the blame for us and gave us everything that we don't deserve, but so we can have an abundance of his life flowing through us and to have abundance in every area of our life. And when he gives you that, and then you don't believe it and therefore don't receive it, that's enmity, that's hostility toward God and the fact that you made his work in vain. So it's not that God's angry at you even if you're hostile toward him, but it is a hostility. And so that's why he says in regarding the fact that Jesus was already made sin for the whole world. He was made sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's a might, because it's a matter of whether you want to receive it or not. For a believer, that's already the case, but you need to believe to receive this righteousness. But guess what? Whether you receive the righteousness of God or not, Jesus was already made sin for you. You see what I'm saying? The work's been done on his end. The gift's there for you. But you're not going to be changed. And God can't work in your life a single iota until you start learning what his son did for you. That's not how it works. God doesn't control everything, contrary to what we've been told before. But that's why in verse 20, he says that we're imploring you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's not because there's a mutual reconciliation that has to happen. It's because it's on your end. And I'm not talking about believers, obviously. I'm talking about people that haven't believed in Jesus yet. Because it's on your end whether you want to reconcile yourself to God by believing in his son. But what a beautiful thing it is, though, that we have a God, and for believers we have a dad, that regardless of whether people receive him or not, he is at total peace with the world. That doesn't mean they've received righteousness and all the benefits. They will receive no benefits until they just believe it. That's all they got to do is just believe it. Start learning it. But it's a beautiful thing, though, that expresses God's character perfectly, that he's at peace with the world, though, regardless, and he's not angry with anybody. So that's the kind of God that we have today, even as we go through service. And if God's not angry with the world, the whole world, of those that are hostile toward him, how much less those that are believers and that are already righteous, and you already have your entire record of everything you've ever done wrong erased from before him, and you've been cleansed, and you've been made good and perfect and pleasing on the inside now. And so God's not angry with anybody, right? Just very, very good news.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.